This Week in HPC by Intersect 360 Research.
HPC AI Market Forecast.
And how AI shapes HPC's future.
It's This Week in HPC. Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of This Week in HPC with Intersect 360 Research, distributed in partnership with HPC Wire and Enterprise AI. I'm Addison Snell with Intersect 360 Research, joined again by Kevin Jackson, who's the editor at Enterprise AI. Kevin, thanks for joining me.
No problem. It's always a pleasure.
And we're having a good time as we get ready for ISC. It's the time of year Intersect 360 Research has to get its new market forecast out. We made it a little more complicated this year by incorporating hyperscale AI for the first time into the total HPC AI market picture.
Yeah, and I'm excited to hear more about your forecast. Please tell me more.
It's been an interesting year to try to forecast because there was a huge spike in hyperscale AI spending. But first, let's talk about that in terms of the components of what constitutes the HPC AI market. Now, as analysts, we have to say what it is we're counting. Let's start by saying we're not counting things like cell phones and smart thermostats and toasters and self-driving cars. Those are kind of part of the AI market. But what we're talking about here is scalable data center infrastructure where the primary purpose of it is either to do HPC or things like scalable AI training and inference. And it's that data center infrastructure that we're counting as part of the forecast. And there are really three segments that go into that. In the on-premises bucket of infrastructure, we have your traditional HPC users that we've been tracking for more than 15 years, and most of them have also begun doing AI. They've extended their infrastructure to do both HPC and AI. That non-hyperscale or on-premises component also includes a certain amount of pure AI enterprise spending, which we began breaking out a couple years ago and have been tracking, including special budget research of general enterprise budgets, going out and looking for how much AI and how much HPC do we find in the wild if we're not using traditional HPC market research lists. That's part of that non-hyperscale or on-prem HPC AI budget. Most of the enterprise AI spending to date had been through cloud. You don't have HPC on-prem. You're starting to do AI. You go to cloud and get it. Now we see growth in that on-prem portion, and that will continue over the next 5 years. And then the third component, of course, is the hyperscale companies. And here we're talking about the massive internet-facing companies, some of the largest ones. You're going to be talking about Amazon, Apple, Google, Meta, Microsoft, but it also includes non-US companies like Alibaba or ByteDance, Naver, Tencent. They've got hyperscale infrastructures. And then we've got new AI-focused clouds that have come into the hyperscale picture, whether you're talking about CoreWeave or Denver Data Works or Lambda. These companies are also now part of the hyperscale market, and we're tracking what proportion of their overall spending is AI-specific hardware, and that becomes part of the HPC AI market as well. We've merged all of those together into a unified picture of the market, and we're forecasting, comparing 2023 versus 2022 and a five-year forecast out to 28.
That's absolutely interesting. And I also saw that 2023 was the first year in which hyperscale company spending on AI infrastructure exceeded the entirety of spending for on-prem infrastructure HPC AI. Can you expand on that?
The bump in hyperscale AI infrastructure was enormous in 2023. And some people saw this coming. If you just looked at NVIDIA's data center picture and saw that boom, all of that hardware was going somewhere. And sure, the traditional HPC on-prem enterprise AI, we saw that bump, but nothing like would hold all of that NVIDIA infrastructure. Most of that went to hyperscale AI companies, including those AI clouds like the CoreWeaves, Lambdas, Denver DataWorks, where the whole point was to bring NVIDIA GPUs to AI. And what we saw as a result was hyperscale AI spending was up 170%, nearly tripling year on year into $48 billion range. That's in the entirety of what the non-hyperscale HPC AI market spends for everything, including cloud. So it's really become a hyperscale dominant picture for 2023. The question is, can that get sustained?
Absolutely. That's always the question. I also saw that cloud computing had its ninth straight year of double-digit growth. You want to comment on that?
This is more the effect of hyperscale because among our HPC AI users, cloud had been growing as a percent of spending. It was already into double-digit growth due to things like maturation of software licensing models going back to, you know, the last part of the last decade. But then through the pandemic, it really went into a hyper growth mode because something that cloud gave was the ability to handle uncertainty. There was a premium in flexibility. So we had a couple of years where cloud's growth was in the 50, 60, 70, 80% range year over year. Now it's gone back to that low double digit range, still outgrowing the market. By the time we get to the end of the forecast period, cloud will be growing along with market size. It'll reach that point where it's a little more stable, and cloud can't get to where it's more than 100% of the market, right? It will find the right level and get to that within about 5 years. Overall, it is a growth picture for that non-hyperscale or on-prem portion of the market where we see a stable 5.4% or 5.6% if you include cloud growth rate for the non-hyperscale portion of the HPC AI market. Hyperscale is another matter. We think it's going to be a while before hyperscale can spend that kind of penetration again on AI. And we think across both parts of the market, we see a bit of a sag in 2025. It starts in 2024 for the hyperscale side before we get back to steady single-digit growth in 2026. And that's something we were already forecasting before. And that's what the data is telling us as we look at short-term versus medium-term for this market.
Absolutely. Well, a lot of exciting things to come out of this forecast. I'm sure everybody is really excited for it.
Yeah, long term, it's a stable market. We should see a bit of a pause in the near term. 2024, we'll see growth again, double-digit growth again in the non-hyperscale part of the market. 2025, bit of a breath. Going forward into 2026, we will go into more details of this in our market forecast webinar. Go to intersect360.com/webinar. That'll be on Thursday, May 2nd at 9 a.m. Pacific time. If by the time you're listening to this podcast, that date is in the past, no problem. Go to that same URL, intersect360.com/webinar. Still register, get the recording, get the slides. We'll go through that in more detail. But clearly, AI has been the driving force that's been affecting the market, both in terms of short-term and long-term growth. And it's interesting, we're talking about all the ways it affects the market. At the Society of HPC Professionals event this week, I saw a great presentation by Randy Fernando, who's a co-founder at the Center for Humane Technology, talking about AI for good and AI for ill and what the effect of the market is. And this is something that's been right in your wheelhouse with enterprise AI. You were looking at a couple of stories with that with respect to Earth Day.
Yeah, absolutely. As many people know, this Monday was Earth Day. It's always great to think about how we're affecting the planet that ensures our survival, right? And Enterprise AI put out a really interesting article about how AI is working to create a more sustainable world. We had a few stories there, but one of my most interesting ones was out of Google. Google has developed the Scalable Ensemble Envelope Diffusion Sampler. It's also called the SEEDS model. It's similar to large language models like ChatGPT. SEEDS uses generative AI techniques to generate multiple likely weather scenarios at a fraction of the cost of the traditional physics-based forecasting models that we currently use. You know, as climate change continues to affect our world, it generally means that we're going to have more severe weather events. And these kinds of tools, like the SEEDS model, are the things that we'll need to stay on top of our planet's shifting environment. SEEDS is based on denoising diffusion probabilistic models. It's a generative AI method pioneered in part by Google Research. And it can generate a large ensemble conditioned on as few as one or two forecasts from an operational numerical weather prediction system. So just being able to see things into the future much more clearly with a small amount of data. Just some very important, cool work out of Google.
It's really interesting to see how AI can get deployed for those kinds of predictive models. Of course, we've always done long-range modeling based on actual modeling, math, and you run the equation and do something deterministic out into the future, you get an answer. And then the accuracy of that answer depends on how good your data was and how good your model is. In this case, rather than doing a lot of math, they're looking at, you know, also data, but just doing something predictive. I think there's room for both of these in the market. You know, we had a solar eclipse recently, and we knew exactly when and where it was happening, not because AI predicted it, but because someone did the math. I think AI would be a bad predictor of the next solar eclipse. And we need to have both of these views of things like climate forecasting. And it's great to see that. There, you've got a couple of other examples in that article that our listeners can go read about. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely have some more stories from NASA as well as IBM. So definitely check that out if you're interested in AI and, or just environmentalism in general.
I mean, we're talking forecast. We're talking about how AI affects the market. We're getting ready for ISC. Kathy Yelick is going to give a keynote there. And you've got a great article on HPC Wire conducted by our own Steve Conway from Intersect 360 Research, talking about what Kathy's views are on post-exascale challenges. Kathy Yelick, by the way, is from UC Berkeley and is a longtime mainstay of the HPC market. What are some of the things that you noticed from that interview?
Yelick is just an absolute titan of the HPC community. I was lucky enough to see her plenary speech at SC23 in November. Just a fantastic speaker, and I'm very excited for her talk at ISC 2024. It'll be in Hamburg, Germany on May 13th. But in the interview with Steve Conway that we posted on HPC Wire, we discussed how HPC will look as we begin to move beyond exascale. You know, it took us so long to get to exascale. It kind of seems silly to be looking beyond it, but that's how this community works, right? We're constantly innovating. We're constantly looking to the future.
Yeah, it's a fantastic topic, and I'm definitely looking forward to her keynote. Did she highlight any particular challenges in keeping the market going beyond exascale?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, she mentioned that exascale was already harder than some of the previous milestones because of the broad adoption of GPUs. You know, this is something we've heard about before. And that was just very disruptive to the software stack, from compilers and libraries all the way to just applications in general. Architectural innovations of this kind were very, very vital in getting to exascale, but there's no underlying exponential here. Most architectural innovations are a one-time improvement. So we're going to be having to looking outside this. And when they require software changes that propagate up the stack, you need an all-hands-on-deck approach. Yelick discussed GPUs and wide SIMD units, both reflecting more parallelism within a compute node. And arguably, you could try to squeeze more out of parallelism of that kind, but there are just natural limits based on what is available in the application. And when we talk limits in HPC, we got to talk Moore's Law, right?
Yeah, we do. And she's saying that they're not counting on getting a lot out of Moore's Law, that the individual transistors are not likely to get a lot faster. They'll get some improvements there. They're looking at things down to 2-nanometer technology. But I really wanted to look at this idea where she's saying it's going to be more parallelism from these scale out components. Some of this is history doesn't repeat itself, but it does often rhyme. I love that quote. where we've heard this song before. Every new revolution in supercomputing hardware has followed this same theme, whether it's going from vector to scalar, or SMP to cluster, or single core to multi-core, or the addition of accelerators. Every one of these breaks down parallelism at another level farther, where you get smaller, more atomic components. Then it's up to the software engineer to start stitching those things together. It is a challenge, and it's a challenge that we have faced before. I think it really highlights the extent to which HPC continues to be driven by larger commodity markets outside of the specialized HPC market. And in this case, it's hyperscale and hyperscale AI and their scale-out models. And what are they doing? That has an effect in what are the technologies available for HPC. So we've seen the future coming, and it involves greater parallelism.
Absolutely. You know, Jelic said that the main levers for performance in the future will be increased in parallelism, of course, but improved data movement performance and better computational efficiency through specialization, narrow data types, and reduced complexity. And just going back to parallelism, she said increased hardware parallelism is only useful if we can discover and express it in the applications. HPC has historically benefited from weak scaling, which increases the problem size with the parallelism. Now, GPU parallelism and wider SIMD units are addressing strong scaling since memory capacity does not scale with parallelism. That is likely to run into limits at the application level. Even when that parallelism exists, it may require more clever algorithms and the right programming mechanisms for us to see this kind of increased performance.
Our listeners can get more on both of these stories on HPC Wire, on Enterprise AI, and then, of course, we've got our upcoming market forecast webinar on May 2nd, and you can come see us at ISC. I'm sure we'll be back to talk more about ISC in Hamburg, Kevin, but we certainly are in a busy time of year with a lot to look forward to, both in the near term and in the long term with AI.
Absolutely. It's always exciting this time of year to just see what everybody's doing, what kind of innovations everybody's been working on for the past year.
And I look forward to meeting you in person, Kevin.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to This Week in HPC.
You've been listening to This Week in HPC, brought to you by Intersect 360 Research, actionable market intelligence for high-performance computing. For more information, visit intersect360.com.